brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study where together we study the scriptures line upon line. God willing, this evening we plan to cover Ezekiel chapter 19. It's been a little while since we've been in the actual line-by-line study. What happened? We had the Q&A last week. The week before, I think I might have been traveling, or I forget what happened there. So it's been a few weeks. And Ezekiel 19 is a bit of a continuation from Ezekiel 17. And so we'll see that as we proceed in the study. Let me go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Thanks so much for showing up. We'll open with a word of prayer, and then I'll check the chat just to make sure that I am coming through clearly. And God willing, we'll get into Ezekiel chapter 19. Our loving Father, we come before you, Lord. What an incredible blessing it is for us just to have in the middle of this week, in the middle of each week, by your will, the opportunity just to pull away from the world and immerse ourselves in your word. We thank you so much, Father, for the faithful saints before us who stood up and risked everything so that your word could be preserved. We thank you, God, for the prophets. We thank you for the priests. We certainly thank you for the prophet Ezekiel, Father, both prophet and priest. And we thank you that we can study his word line by line. We pray, God, that as we do, you'll help us to better understand not just the book of Ezekiel, but your entire body of scripture, and also the times that we're living in and how we ought to conduct ourselves. We praise you, Father. We thank you that we have you, that we have Christ, that we have each other, that we have your Holy Spirit. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me go ahead and check the chat. Wow, lots of brethren here. Welcome, everyone. Griselda 73, Brother Ian Palmatier, Rosebud, and Petty Milk. Very, very nice. In fact, I was supposed to travel this week, but my travel plans were disrupted by this massive storm that passed through. So hopefully all of you, see Petty Milk has the internet back. I hope all of you were safe who were in the storm's path. Sister Denise is on, Sister Christy, Pastor Murray, Judy and Chuck, good evening. Brother Jeff, Sister Donna, wow. Chaw Jaws, wonderful. Dave and Deb, very, very good. Brother Rick Four, Merlinine, and we've got DW Mac, 5356. Wonderful to have you. Wonderful. And Brother Pastor Murray, sound and audio and video are good. Very good. All right, let's jump into Ezekiel chapter 19. I'll go ahead and share my screen. And before we get into Ezekiel 19, actually, I want to start with Genesis, with this prophecy from Israel regarding his sons. And specifically, the metaphor or the symbology that he used regarding Judah, because that's going to feature in Ezekiel 19, which is a lamentation. Judah should be praised. And this metaphor, this symbolic language that Israel sets up regarding his son Judah, Ezekiel contradicts it because of Judah's behavior. So here we see in Genesis 49 and verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you are gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? So you get this sense of tremendous power and conquest from Judah. And then in verse 10, Israel says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And then in verse 11, he says, binding his foal unto the vine, and his donkey's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. So there's these two metaphors that Israel sets up for Judah. One is a lion's whelp, or a lion. In fact, Christ himself is the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. And the other is this vine, this very healthy, fruitful vine. So bear that in mind, these two symbols of Judah, the lion and the vine. Because Ezekiel, a very knowledgeable priest, now has this lamentation, this dirge, this woe for this lament for Judah. And so he begins, "Moreover, take you up a lamentation for the princes of Israel." So chapter 19 is a lamentation for the leaders. What's the saying that the fish rots from the head? And so there's a problem at the top, and all of that corruption cascades down from there. And again, this is something a lot of these ancient dynamics we see today in our society. We see the filth and the corruption at the top, and how that, as a result of that, cascades into society, and the people, the masses, throw off restraint, and they become extremely corrupt because of what's happening at the top. So this is a lamentation for the princes, the heads of Israel. "And say, what is your mother? A lioness." So here he's bringing forth this symbology from Genesis 49. "What is your mother? A lioness. She lay down among the lions," or "she lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps," or her young lions, her cubs. "She nourished her whelps among young lions." So she's in the mix. All these powerful forces, these nations, powerful leaders, and she's right there in the mix with her young. "She brought up one of her whelps. It became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men." So the mother, well, let's read it here. So this is referring to, if you go to 2 Kings 23:31, it's referring to King Jehoahaz. And we can see that this king, sorry, just lost my mouse here. Where did it go? There it is. There it is. Sorry. We can just see that this king, Jehoahaz, he came after Josiah, and Josiah was a good king. Jehoahaz has not so much. He was a very corrupt king. And we'll see this here in 2 Kings 23:31. He was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. So he didn't reign for long, but he was a wicked king. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And then we'll see in chapter 24 of 2 Kings, so Zedekiah will come a little while after Jehoahaz, but these are the two kings that Ezekiel is taking up a lament for. These are the two whelps, or the two young cubs. So one of them is Jehoahaz. His mother was Hamutal. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. So they have the same mother. And so here, "What is your mother? A lioness. She lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions. She brought up one of her whelps," this is Jehoahaz. "It became a young lion and learned to catch prey. It devoured men." So we'll come to Zedekiah later. But Hamutal is the mother. So in a very literal sense, this is this woman bringing up her children to be these powerful leaders, these very destructive leaders. But in a more figurative, symbolic sense, the mother is really Judah. The mother is this covenant people who produce kings. And so we'll see here what the fate of these kings will be. Symbology or symbolism of lions. Let's see that at the head. Again, the fish rots from the head. Let's see this in Ezekiel 22. We'll come to this in a couple of weeks, God willing. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. So we can't be naive and say, you know, everything's a conspiracy theory. There are real conspiracies. There are conspiracy facts. And among the prophets, Ezekiel is calling out that there's a conspiracy among the prophets in the midst thereof. And the prophets are very powerful teachers because they craft the narrative where they help the people and the kings to interpret what's happening around them and who they are and what's possible for them. And so if the prophets are corrupt, they're going to empower and enable corrupt kings. Instead of being a check and a balance against the king, they're going to become enablers of the king's corruption. And so there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. This is how God sees these prophets. As a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many windows in the midst thereof. It's a conspiracy. And we would be naive to trust these leaders. These leaders have betrayed us. If we were in this time, they've turned against us. They're devouring us. And I think as we study this, it's very easy for us to relate to it because of what's happening today in our society, where our leaders in the Western world have in fact betrayed us. We can't trust them. There is a conspiracy. That's the prophets. Then he goes on to say, the priests. And Ezekiel was both a prophet and a priest, very informed with respect to the holiness of the Lord and the Lord's ways, and very sensitive to the abominations of these people, because he was brought up as a priest. But her priests have violated my law. Malachi says that the people should seek the law. They should seek the Torah and judgments from the Torah from the priest's lips. But the priests have abandoned the Torah. And that's, again, fast forward to today, not just in the broader Christian world, but even in our own covenant community. And I don't necessarily speak specifically of our organization, but the covenant community today. Many have violated the law, have turned from the Torah, and are making up judgments from their imagination and their feelings instead of understanding the law. And when people come to them, they're able to point the people to the Torah and judgments from the Torah. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. The priests who should be preserving and protecting the holy things, they've profaned God's holy things. And they've, listen to this, they've put no difference between the holy and the profane. And again, we fast forward to today. Are we highly sensitive to the difference between the holy and the profane? Or do we just mix everything together? One day, the Sabbath day is much the same as any other day. Someone who's baptized and has the Holy Spirit is much the same as someone who doesn't. And it's just everything's all just mixed up. God is not mixed up. God is not the author of confusion. God is a God of separation and divisions and very clear boundaries and borders and separations. Because there's a difference between the holy and the profane. And I think many of us lack courage, lack backbone, and want to compromise. But God wants a difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They're just mixing everything together. And they've hid their eyes from my Sabbath. And I am profaned among them. People should be going to the priests to learn the difference between the holy and the profane. But because of the priests, God's holiness is profaned. Now, so we go with the prophets, then the priests. Now we come to the princes. And this is a lamentation for the princes. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood. This is against their own people. And today we can see the same thing. the most vaccinated country in the world, I think, is Israel. We're getting news this week of what's going on in New York with all these secret tunnels, and it looks like these are enabling the abuse of children and the trafficking of children. This is what it appears based on what the investigations. This is against their own people. So we can't be fooled by displays of religiosity, long beards and beads and hats. And what we care about is the heart. And these leaders and these priests and these prophets, they're all corrupt. And there's a conspiracy among them. And they've turned against their own people. And they're devouring souls. They're like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. These are our leaders, as it was back then, as it is today. And woe unto any of us if we're so naive that we think we can trust these leaders. They're full of corruption. Back to Ezekiel 19. So this is a lamentation now for these princes, these kings, these leaders, who are sitting so pretty, sitting on so much wealth, so much power. And Ezekiel is told by God, take up a lamentation for them. They're coming down. They're going to be destroyed. Now, these young whelps, these young lions that have come up in Judah, the nations also heard of him, this young lion, Jehoahaz. He was taken in their pit, and they brought him with chains unto the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh Necho, this is the counterpart now, 2 Kings 23:33. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. That he might not reign in the land of Jerusalem, and put the land to tribute of 100 talents of silver and of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the place of Josiah, his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away. And he came to Egypt and died there. So he was taken out of Jerusalem, and this is exactly what the prophet said would happen. And this is now, take up a lamentation. He's gone down. Back to Ezekiel 19. Now when she, the mother, saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, so that her son was killed, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. So Judah's producing these kings. And he went up and down among the lions. He became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devoured men. And this is now pointing to Zedekiah's reign. And he knew their desolate places, and he laid waste their cities, and the land was desolate, and the fullness thereof by the noise of his roaring. So he was a ravenous leader, and he was just building his wealth and just rapacious in his greed. Then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces, and spread their net over him. He was taken in their pit. And, you know, we can almost again see a parallel here to today with Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel today, where what he's doing with Gaza, the whole world is looking at this and saying, this isn't right. And people who may be indifferent to what's going on in the Middle East, they're all saying, no, this has to stop. Ceasefire. We've got to stop this. And he's in a very bad position. So eventually all the nations are going to surround him, or him or whoever the leader will be. And so it's like, before this even happens, take up a lamentation, because they're going down. So however this king was behaving, it was just beyond the pale. And the nations set against him on every side, from the provinces, and spread their net over him, and he was taken in their pit. Here's the counterpart to this, 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 6. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. And they put him in ward in chains and brought him to the king of Babylon, and brought him into holds or the prison, that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Here's Jeremiah's prophecy regarding this. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, this is Jeremiah 27, thus saith the Lord to me, make you bonds and yokes, and put them on your neck. This is God's instruction to Jeremiah. And send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now, many of us today would say, Jeremiah, don't listen to God. This is political. Don't be political. Don't have anything to do with politics. But the Bible is all about politics. And the prophets are very aware of God's will regarding politics. And so he was to do this and send this message to these kings by the hand of messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. So they're sending these messengers to Zedekiah. He's to present this message to them and command them to say unto their masters, to go back to their kings, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall you say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed appropriate unto me. This is amazing. This is God participating in the politics of man, because God has a will, and he's making sure that his will unfolds. And he says, and now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So God is intervening in man's affairs to say, I'm setting up Nebuchadnezzar as the world's ruler, and all of you kings need to submit to him. In fact, God calls him his servant. By the hand of the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And this is politics. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom, which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, says the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have destroyed them by his hand. So God is going to empower this king, and he's telling all these nations, submit to him. And if you don't, God is saying, I'm going to empower him to crush you. Therefore, hearken not you to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. This is the God of Israel instructing these Gentile kings not to listen to their diviners and prophets and dreamers that are saying, don't serve our foreign policy is we've got to resist Babylon. God is saying, no, I'm going to be involved in your foreign policy, and your foreign policy needs to cooperate with Nebuchadnezzar. So don't listen to these prophets of yours. So this is to the Gentile nations, how much more to Judah? Because they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, says the Lord. And they shall till it and dwell therein. Then Jeremiah goes on. I spoke, or God through Jeremiah, I spoke also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words. So the same instruction that was given to the Gentile nations, God gave the same set of instructions to Zedekiah, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon. God is dictating the foreign policy to this king. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? So that's the backdrop. We set up in Kings, or the history in Kings, the prophecy in Jeremiah, back to Ezekiel 19. Now, the imagery from Ezekiel shifts from these lions, these roaring lions that are extremely destructive. Israel meant the metaphor or the symbol of the lion as a praise of Judah. Ezekiel is using it, or God through Ezekiel is using it as a curse of Judah. This lion-like behavior is so destructive that take up a lamentation. These people are cursed. These kings are cursed, and it's a lamentation for the kings. Now he pivots, and he uses the other symbol that Israel introduced, that of the vine. And he says, your mother is like a vine in your blood, planted by the waters. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And this clearly is not the just physical mother, but the mother being Judah, this covenant people that is producing these kings. He took also, this is a counterpart to chapter 17, which, if you'll remember, was the parable of the great eagle symbolizing Nebuchadnezzar, who Zedekiah rebelled against. That this great eagle set him up for success. There was an oath between them, and then Zedekiah violated the oath. And God's like, is this going to stand? What do you expect here? So here, Ezekiel 17, a couple of weeks ago we did this, verse 5. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. So you can see the same concept carried forward here in chapter 19, that this vine is just really fruitful by reason of many waters. Well, the metaphor of chapter 17 was the king planted it by these great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. So it's not like King Solomon, where all the world is looking to his glory, but there's a king and they're a glory, but they're a vassal state. They're under Nebuchadnezzar. So it became a spreading vine, is healthy, but of low stature, whose branches turned toward him and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. So that was the relationship that Zedekiah had when Nebuchadnezzar set him up as king. Back to chapter 19, verse 11. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule, and her stature was exalted among the thick branches, and she appeared in her height with the multitude of her branches. So she's flourishing. But she was plucked up in fury. What happened? She was actually flourishing. But she was plucked up in fury, she was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered, the fire destroyed them. So there was a turn of events here. She was thriving, she was flourishing, and then there was this turn of events. Going back to Ezekiel 17, we read, verse 10, yes, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grew. So because of that betrayal, God's saying, is it going to prosper? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, know you not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and has taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. So there was a betrayal that we saw back in chapter 17, where he swore an oath to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar as a vassal state, Babylon being the suzerain state. But instead of being loyal to that oath, he had a foreign policy where he thought he would go to Egypt and try to throw off the yoke of Babylon. And that policy just, it did not work out. Back to chapter 19, verse 13. And now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground. So instead of flourishing with many waters because of this ill-advised foreign policy, instead of listening to the true prophet Jeremiah, listening to the false prophets, thinking that they could break away and not follow the will of God, now she's planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire has gone out of a rod of her branches, which has devoured her fruit, so that she has no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. So the scepter should not depart from Judah, is what Israel pronounced. And now, with Zedekiah, he brought down the whole thing, brought down the whole kingdom. And now she has no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation and shall be for a lamentation. So this is the judgments of God on Judah, on the house of Judah or the house of Israel. And this judgment is specifically against the princes, against the leaders. We're going to continue a few more chapters of God's judgment against Judah, very thorough, comprehensive judgment. And then he's going to judge the surrounding nations. And then after all of this judgment, we're going to begin to see the gospel, the good news, what Christ is going to enable for this very nation, which is full of abomination, full of corruption, full of rebellion. But they're in covenant with God. And God is a faithful God of covenant. So we'll end there for chapter 19, bit of a short chapter, but with the references to the other chapters, we filled that out a bit. Let me just go ahead and check the chat. This week we do have, I'll just put the card up for our Sabbath service. So God willing, you'll be able to join us for our Sabbath service. Deacon Jan will be speaking this Sabbath at 1:30. Hopefully you'll be able to join us. Let me just go ahead and check the chat. All good. Very, very good, brethren. God bless you. God willing, we'll be in Ezekiel chapter 20 next week. And God willing, you'll be able to join us for Sabbath, 1:30 p.m., and Deacon Jan will be speaking. God bless you, brethren.